You're listening to episode 134 of the FitsPro podcast, and I am very excited about today's episode because we don't talk about the fancy aspects of training or programming very often on this show because I love the basics. I preach the basics, so we don't get into much of maybe the fun or extra stuff very often, and that is literally what today's episode is all about. It is the fun stuff. It is fancy methods that you can use within your training that is otherwise pretty simple and basic. So, without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs. AKA not your average FitsPro, and my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. All right, if you are listening to this episode, maybe you are a trainee, maybe you are a coach, I am not positive, but if you have an online business or you would like to have an online business specifically in the realm of health and fitness, please check out my free on-demand workshop, Your Biz Your Way, 3 steps to build a profitable online health and fitness business. You can register via the show notes or go to anniemiller.co/workshop-register. And if you are over on the site, check out anniemiller.co/resources for all of the free things, whether that is for the trainee, the trainer, or the entrepreneur. And of course, as I do in every episode, I would like to thank Legion Athletics for sponsoring this podcast. They are the number one brand of all natural sports supplements in the world. If you are in the market for adding supplements, which I recognize are a luxury, I highly recommend Legion. It can just be easier to get in your vitamins and or get in some more protein. Their creatine is amazing in my opinion, and I feel a definite difference with it. They have pre-workouts that have stimulants or don't have stimulants and just reduce the amount of fatigue that you might feel during your training. So check them out. Legion are my people. Beyond the supplements themselves, I just love that they are legitimately scientifically backed. So you can look at the scientific literature that gave them the reasoning behind the dosages and the ingredients that they use. Plus, if you are skeptical, they do have a 100% money back guarantee and free shipping. So go to buylegion.com and use code Annie at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Or if you already love Legion, if you're an existing customer, you can get double Legion reward points. So my original plan for this podcast was actually to have this episode be about 2021 reflection and 2022 planning, but I use the Elegant Excellence Goals Journal to do that, and their shipping is delayed. We are not surprised. What shipping isn't delayed right now? So we will wait for that and not rush it. I am very much for reflection and planning. I have done it on a large scale on a yearly basis and a small scale weekly basis pretty religiously since the start of 2019. And I encourage others to do the same, both for your life and your career or business. Thus, you will get that episode. But once I'm done with my process, and that might be after the start of 2022. So we will talk about that when the time is right. For now, we will talk about training. As I create this pure programming course, which is a programming certification course that I'm creating behind the scenes, I am reminded of just how wildly basic my approach to training and program design is. But today, we are going to discuss the fancier side of those basics. So I will not be telling you to use a BOSU ball or confuse your muscles. These fancy friends that I'm going to share are simply more advanced basics, really. They're a progression from the basics. They're fun and also often require more access to equipment that you may or may not have. So not all of these, but some of these. If you've been doing the same exercises, 15 to 20 exercises for years, within a pretty set range of sets and reps, you might feel the urge to spice it up. I know I have felt that myself over the years. So rather than completely changing programs or training modalities, I want you to entertain the following methods that I'm going to share with you today. And even if you are not trying to be the fastest or the strongest or the most agile or powerful, these methods can be a fun way to stick with familiar movement patterns, familiar approaches to training, while having a bit more fun. Most of these are going to be additions or, you know, quote unquote extras to tack on to your normal programming, though the first two that we're going to cover are actual programming methods. So the first one is undulating styles for your main sets, being your big lift. So in undulating programming, and I say programming because it can be a programming method as well as an overall periodization, so a progression of the training variables that you change phase over phase, you will perform the big lifts multiple times per week with varying stimulus via sets and reps. This is very popular in powerlifting for the big three lifts, squat, bench, and deadlift, but it can be applied to more big lifts with the addition of, say, overhead press, which is my personal use of the method. So with three lifts, you only need 3 days of training in which you would squat, bench, and deadlift on all three of those days. So one day might be 5x2, for all of those, the next day might be 4x5 for all of those, and the last day might be 3 to 5 sets of 10 for all of those, squat, bench, and deadlift. A power or a max strength day, a mid strength day, which is that 4x5, and a hypertrophy or capacity day in the 3 to 5 sets of 10. You're not restricted to those sets and reps by any means. Those are just an example. So where in traditional programming, you'd likely be working on one of those per phase, one of those set and rep schemes per phase, one of those focuses per phase, meaning 1 month. With undulating, the stimulus alters, in this case, a daily fashion. If you add in a fourth lift, it takes a bit more planning, but the goal is to still hit all four big lifts, which would be squat, bench, deadlift, and overhead press, 2 to 3 times per week with varying intensities. So varying set and rep schemes that kind of fit into the overall continuums of power, strength, and hypertrophy. Another approach I personally like is to use undulating programming for 1 to 2 lifts that you really want to push, or maybe you need to push. So maybe they're your weaker link. I've mentioned this before, but a squat bias undulating program was actually a part of my 12-week back rehab process after my herniation, my disc herniation. It was a normal 4 to 5 upper-lower split, but I was squatting 3 days per week. The same could be done with bench press or pull-ups or hip thrusts. It is simply a fun way to push yourself or to push one skill or pattern in a given phase. The next one is also a program, and then we will get into the kind of extra add-on methods. I've talked about this method before, and that is German volume training. So you would take a season to try out an old great and put on as much muscle as you possibly can. That is the point of German volume training. Is GVT, which is German volume training, needed to put on mass? No, but it's a challenge and can ease up the mental load, in my opinion, of lifting heavy if you're finding you feel a bit burnt out with that. So it is essentially 4 to 6 sets. Well, traditional German volume training is 10 sets, but as you'll learn in my pure programming course, studies will show that the hypertrophic effect that you're looking for with German volume training can be attained in 4 to 6 sets of 10 rather than doing the extra 10 sets of 10. So you would do these 4 to 6 sets of 10 on 3 exercises per day on a 2-0-2-0 tempo. And that is a different kind of adversity. And it's highly effective. I think it's a fun experience in like a painful kind of way. With the sheer amount of time under tension that you're going to experience just with this volume in the tempo, one can expect and prepare for more delayed onset muscle soreness than you might normally experience with your training. Again, I am not encouraging everyone to do this or even anyone to do this. Maybe you don't need this much volume, but that is the literal basis or stimulus and driving factor of this training method. It is literally called German volume training. So just know that that's the point, that's the stimulus. And yes, this can be used with the large compound movements, but I would choose movements that will elicit the best growth where you want it, since that is the desired adaptation that we're going for here, is hypertrophy, is muscle growth. So that's the thing that we need to be thinking about when we select exercises for this method. For instance, where I'd normally do deadlifts in a program, I would likely substitute 4 to 6 sets of 10 of hip thrusts in RDLs, Romanian deadlifts. That, for me, makes the best use of my dreaded time under tension with this method. Whereas squats, overhead press, and bench press really do still work, along with other patterns like cyclist squats, lateral raises, pull-ups, rows, push-ups. You are free, of course, to add any needed accessory work at lesser volume than kind of your 2 to 3 big high volume lifts for the day. I would still include overall joint health work, like some Y raises, some hip cars, some Copenhagens, as well as pillar or core work if I was using this method. Now, let's go ahead and move on to what I called the extra or the add-ons, the fun stuff that can just bring a bit of life, little spark back into your training. The first method is to use chains and bands in addition to your normal barbell training. If you do happen to have access to one of these additions, it's likely bands over chains. Chains and bands do the same thing. They add weight and tension at the top while letting off weight and tension in the bottom position. So take the squat, bench, or hip thrust as an example. In the squat and the bench, the bands or the chains are on the ends of a loaded barbell. The chains are hanging while the bands are secured to the rack. In the hip thrust, the band is going to be secured to the rack on the floor, and then it goes over the top of your hips in addition to the barbell. So can we see how at the bottom of these positions, there is slack in the bands or the chains in the added modality? And with every centimeter or inch, weight is being added, load, tension is being added to the movement until you reach the top. That certainly increases the tension at the top for bench and hip thrust especially. So you'd use lighter weight than usual, because especially for the chains, they're going to add weight and you need to take into consideration the weight of the actual chain and then subtract that from whatever load you would normally use. But with either, I highly, highly suggest starting very conservative. You can always add more weight. Another use of bands would be in like a push-up or a Romanian deadlift. So in a push-up, the band goes underneath your hands, underneath your palms, and then up and over and around your upper back. And this is the same idea as bench. So at the bottom, there's going to be less tension, but as you push up, the push-up gets progressively harder because the band is adding tension to the push-up. For the RDL, we could have two options. There's actually more than two options, but I'm going to give you two. The band could be around the actual center of the barbell, so between your hands, and it would be secured to something in front of the barbell, further away. So the barbell is being pulled away from you and it's going to target the lats and your upper back because you're having to extra pull the bar into yourself. And then you could also have a band secured to something behind you, pulling around your waist. And that is, again, going to increase tension at the top. Yay, glutes. Hello, glutes. That adds extra tension at the top of that for your posterior chain. Next up is something known as mechanical advantage. So this can be used in many ways, and it functions kind of like a drop set or cluster training if you're familiar with either of those. Let's use pull-ups or rows as an example. You'd do the same number of reps of each of these back to back. So wide grip, normal grip, neutral grip, chin up for your vertical pulling. That would be a set. So say you're doing two of each of those, two wide grip, two normal grip, two neutral grip, and two chin ups back to back. That is mechanical advantage. For the rows, you would do wide rows, wide grip, neutral grip, narrow grip, and then supinated. So palms up. So are you seeing how this resembles a drop set? In a drop set, you would do, say, 8 curls at 25, then 20, then 15, then 10, et cetera, like a ladder without any rest in between those. As the weight drops in a drop set, it feels just as hard as the last set due to muscle fatigue. The same is true with mechanical advantage, only you're not changing the load, rather the mechanical positioning. Does that make sense? So wide pull-ups are the hardest. They're the most difficult pattern. Then a standard pull-up, then P grip or neutral grip, and then chin up. Does that make sense? So it's the same effect as a drop set, but the progression is from most difficult to easiest, even though the current set feels just as difficult as the last set. It's a fun tactic. If you see a place to apply it in your training, I highly encourage you to do so. It's very fun. I think it's a good experience to have and something to play around with if you see a fit for it. Next up is pre-fatigue or back off sets. Now, these are not related to one another other than the fact that they both add time under tension and volume to a program that already exists. So we'll start with pre-fatigue, and that is exactly what it sounds like. Before a squat day, you would do quad extensions or maybe B stance goblet squats to pre-exhaust the prime movers that you're going to be using that day, in this case, the quads. I honestly haven't read much research on pre-fatigue, but I have done it. And I personally used it when I was attempting to put on some size back in the day, and I can't attribute it directly to pre-fatigue or using pre-fatigue, but I will say that it was successful. On a shoulder focus day, maybe a vertical pressing day, this might be doing lateral or frontal raises beforehand. So you get the idea. I see this working mostly for hypertrophy over strength. I would not suggest necessarily pre-fatiguing muscles that you are going to need for strength. I don't see a lot of logic in that approach. So that is why I see it more for a hypertrophy effect. As for back off sets, these are a great way to fatigue a muscle group after strength sets have been completed. So you perform all of your main sets and then you drop the weight and perform higher rep sets or a single set. That could be for a, you know, set number of sets at a certain amount of reps, or that could be as an AMRAP. So until you have 1 to 2 reps left in the tank at a lower weight after you have completed your main working sets. So that was pre-fatigue and back off sets as a way to kind of add some more volume and muscle fatigue to your current programming. The last one that we are going to go over is super short, and that is simply to choose a skill to work on. So pick a new skill, learn or work on a pistol squat, sumo stance work, a pull-up, maybe some mobility drills or adding mobility drills into your strength training. A new skill just simply adds new stimulation, and it can be a fun way to spice up your training. That is all I have for you today. I hope that these, maybe you've heard of these before, maybe you haven't, but either way, I hope this gives you some ideas to either implement with your clients or your own training, maybe not now, but in the future. Finally, if you did love this episode or you want to support the Fitspro podcast, please head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, give the show 5 stars and leave a written review. And if you are not already on my main mailing list, make sure that you are, because there are podcast listener discounts at the bottom of every email. And you can choose between the Daily Dose or the Weekly Wisdom when you go to annymiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the Fitspro Podcast.